Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker. What's our last name? Baker Psychic Hour. A little tongue twisted this morning. Sorry about that. The Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Here we are, and we are taking our listeners and callers for on-air readings. Actually, we just dropped someone. That was weird. I hope everyone's having an okay time with the phone lines, because sometimes callers have problems. So if you get disconnected, please call back, because someone dropped and I'm surprised that that person dropped. So perhaps she will call back. What are we talking about today, Neil? Spirits appearing in dreams?
Spirits and dreams.
Spirits appearing in dreams. So we're going to be getting to that topic shortly. We do have a caller from a private number. If that caller wants a reading, please call back and unmask your number, and we will bring you on. If you're just listening, then you're welcome to just listen with that block number. We do have a caller from the 678 area code who we will bring on now. Hi. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. This is Regina.
Oh, hi, Regina. Hi, Regina. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good, good. You're in, what state are you in? I'm not going to guess.
Georgia.
I thought it was Georgia, but I didn't want to be. I didn't want to be wrong.
Okay.
And I remember,
that's okay.
I think your master number is 8, but if we could get your birthday real quick.
Yes, it's 1879.
79, 79, 13, 18. Mm-hmm. Am I? 35, 8, yeah. Okay, 35, 8, so I did remember correctly. How's everything going for you?
It's going okay. It's a little bit better, but I'm still back on the job search again. I mean, I have a part-time job right now, just for the weekends, but my other job ended on the 5th of this month,
and
that was
birthday,
also a temporary job.
Thank you.
And I just want to see what's coming up for me, like finding hopefully a stable position.
A stable position. What type of work are you doing right now, Regina?
Right now I'm in the medical records.
Medical records, and it's on the weekends?
Yes, it's on the weekends. Mm-hmm.
And so what exactly does that entail, the medical records job?
Well, the only thing I'm doing is just going by the request that a provider or – because I work with different requester, and that can be an attorney, that can be disability offices, it'd be government agency, or even personal or the patient requesting medical records. And then sometimes we have to bill how much it is per page. So or something like an invoice. So we have to do stuff like that.
Go ahead. So in terms of when we last connected, because I don't know how long it's been a while. What tell you on the last show in terms of getting work? Do you remember or no?
I do not remember. Because I think the last time I talked to you guys, it was last May. It's the last time I spoke to y'all.
Really?
And at that time, yes.
Quite a while. And at that time, you were not working at all. Is that right?
At time, I went for an interview because I just got off a temp assignment, and then I got another job. And so that's all I've been on, like, last year, but just temp jobs. But I'm, like, tired of that. I'm just like, I want stability.
Right. You want stability, and the weekend job obviously isn't enough. She's 39 years old.
Do you work in a
4 years
a
beyond.
Brick and mortar? Do you work in a building? Do you work in a doctor's? Where do you work?
Right now I work in a like an office building, but the company, it could be in a hospital, but I just work in a corporate building.
And this is only part time right now on the weekends?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's a temp job, but they're trying to turn that into a permanent, and I was hoping if they turn that to permanent, that could be a work from home job.
Yeah, well, the thing that I'm seeing, Regina, which is weird, is I saw you working at home. So I couldn't figure, that's why I asked if you were working in a building or something, because while you were talking before, I had this vision of you working at home. So when you said, well, I work in a corporate and in an office, I thought, well, that doesn't make sense. But now that you just brought up the fact of the possibility that you could be working at home if it goes full time, that's what we're concluding may be happening. Otherwise, why would I?
I don't think it would. Yeah, I don't. But that job, it's not going to turn full time. I'm gonna tell you that now. It will only have to be on the weekends.
So where could the home employment come from? Where does that come in?
Well, I have a. I mean, I guess that could be. I have an offer that was presented to me to work with special need children, but it's kind of like I'm working from home because I'm not working in from an office, but I haven't accepted the offer yet because of the pay.
That's probably where it's coming from. Go ahead.
And I'm still kind of iffy on, even though I need a job, but it's like I don't want to settle, you know? And I'm hoping.
So what exactly would you be doing in that position?
Just working with special need children, like from birth to 5 years.
Right, and but so how would you like be early doing it from home? That's what I'm trying to figure out, because if you're working with special need children, are you having them in your home?
I think, No, I probably have to do my documentation from my home.
Oh, okay.
Like do the,
going
do,
out
yeah,
in the
you
field,
just do, yeah,
working.
I'm going out in the field. Mm-hmm.
And then they would
I'll probably have to bring
going
it.
Home. I see.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
going like, home too.
That sounds like a rewarding job, though.
I mean, I'm not. And so, because you're working with special needs, but to me, it's money. And then it's a contractor, so it's an independent contractor position. So it's not like I get benefits.
Right.
And so you're working from the state in a way, and that's like, so that's the only one that came in so far.
So, because when you were saying, when you were talking about the medical records, what you did in your narration was you said, you know, it could develop into something full time. So we were confused that the way you were talking, that the full time position could stem from the medical records. But what you're saying is no. I guess what you're saying is I'm thinking of something stemming full time and working at home, but your mind was on the special needs job, right? Is that what you're saying?
Because really, I don't even know, because they might start off at part time. So if I accept this position, and then they work its way up to full time, but at the same time, it's an independent contractor.
She needs work.
You know, we're not real familiar with the pay range. Pay is different in every state, and so it's all relative to the state. But I'm seeing something between a $30,000 to $40,000 salary or pay. How would that fit in Georgia with your needs?
That would be better. That would be much better.
So do you know how much the position would be? Is it an hourly rate with the special needs?
Yes, I read no, and it's not going to hit 30. I'm going to tell you that now.
It's not going to hit 30.
Mm-mm.
What would Well, I don't know why I'm seeing 30 to 40. So what would be in your mind a reasonable salary, 30 to 40, what that you could do? What sounds familiar to you?
That sounds more like going back to what I used to do, like social services, but the area is so saturated right now, and then you get burned out really easily. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to do that. I mean, I like the medical records part because my temp job that I left, it was in the medical record because I was in the hospital. But that company was so unprofessional, how they did me and how they would, you know, do their employees. So, and then my recruiter was like, I can't believe they did that to you. So I would like, I don't mind the medical records field. It's just in a better or suitable company.
Well, if you were to work at home and then go out into the field, what's the potential salary range for that?
It would be like 30 to 32.
Oh.
So that's the neighborhood of where.
You know what?
But that's not going to be with that job.
Right,
offer,
but that's, I mean, it's coming in probably because of that.
Yeah. It seems to be, you know, in calling our show, it seems to be that our best range of psychic impression is that you're working with special needs kids. It's full time. You work out of home and you go out into the field and you land with a facility or a corporation that is able to pay you that much money. And it's full time. That seems to be where the focus is right now.
Because
you said the question was, what do you see? And we're seeing you working at home around 30 to 40. And your comment back to us is, well, that could be working with special needs kids on a full time basis, but not with the one that's offering me a job now. But that could be a reasonable salary in that field if I'm working full time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
we
suggest that you search diligently in that area and see if you can land a full-time job working out of the home. I think if you get that, I think you're going to be happy because the vision that I see in the future is that you're smiling. So you seem to be like, this works. I'm at home. I'm not just stuck in one place. It's varied. I know social work can be very, very challenging and and you're dealing with just, you walk into every home and it's just a problem. Special needs, it's different. Sometimes the environment is a little bit more less hostile. And you're challenging to the mind. A lot of times you have a loving family surrounding it. So that's what we see. I don't know. That's where it's coming from today.
Yeah, try to get in touch sooner than 7 months just so we can continue, you know, the energy field for you. You know, it's especially if you don't remember what we told you last time, then it's difficult because I don't think, you know, I don't have a note on what we said to her last time. So if something comes up, give us a call.
And
you that
notes.
Way, you know,
take
make
notes,
a note.
Regina, and follow us.
Yeah,
follow us.
All right.
Become part of, you know, the community here because we actually work when we're not on the radio, we're actually working for people who call us. We spend time putting energy into helping people.
Yeah.
And that's aside from the radio show.
Right. I understand.
I know a lot of people.
But thank you.
A lot of people don't seem to hit that button to follow. I don't know why that is. But it's only going to benefit the people who do.
Yeah. Okay, Regina.
Thank you.
You
have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Neil and Kristen Baker, you can search it on Facebook. You don't even have to because Neil and Kristen are together, but you can actually find us even if you type them in with spaces.
Yeah, it's got to be
the
joint.
Joint and the Neil Baker Psychic, both accounts we encourage you to follow. But yes, we like to be supported and really, you know, I'm I'm the one who sets up the online stuff, so you're going to reach me if you contact us.
Yeah,
just to let you know, Neil doesn't even go online. Okay. 402, hi.
Hi, this is Diane. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Hi, Diane. How are you?
Okay. I'm a little bit concerned, though. My question involves my living situation. I'm wondering if I'm going to be able to stay at the place where I've been living the past few years. I had an inspection a couple days ago that I thought was going to go just fine with flying colors, but it did not. I've got an option to make some changes, but have some disabilities. I've got some friends that are going to try and help me get to pass that, but I was just wondering what you see in terms of that, if I might have to look for a new place to live or if I will be able to stay for another year where I am now.
Okay, what state do you live in?
Currently Nebraska.
Nebraska. Okay. And your birth date, please.
March 24th, 1962.
Okay. Have you called our show before?
I have. It's been some time, but I have before, yes.
Okay. I don't know if we talked about...
Diane... The inspection. Are you renting an apartment or a house or what?
I'm renting an apartment, and because of some disabilities I've got right now, I've got a little bit of assistance with the housing authority. If I don't pass the inspection, I won't get that assistance, and I won't be able to continue to live here. I won't really have a place to live if I don't get it passed.
What is it that needs to be passed? What do you need to show them that so that you can pass?
Well, I haven't received the letter from them yet, but what they told me was to clean some carpets, and there was something that the property management company has to do, some repairs that they're not putting on me at all. They said I don't have to worry about that. But I think it's more kind of housekeeping things, which with the disabilities I've got, I can't always do what I used to be able to do.
What is the nature of your disability?
I've got some pretty bad arthritis throughout my body.
Well, and you're very limited in funds where you can't summon
pain. Chronic pain. Yes, I live on disability, so I've got a very low income right now. That's why I'm relying on the assistance through this housing place.
Well, forgive me, but I mean, how did it get so messy? Do you cram things all around the house? Do you hoard things? Do you drop?
Well, I did have quite a few things here, and I got all of those out. My project this year was, before I knew I was going to have this inspection, was to get rid of most of my things because I want to ultimately move out of Nebraska. I've been working on a lot of things the last few years to kind of start my life over, and that's one of the things that was part of the plan, to get rid of my things. But now that kind of got thrown into a curve since I just had to get things out immediately so I could try and get this inspection passed.
You know, Diane, it may sound a little odd, but, and maybe we're wrong, but we don't see you leaving.
Okay.
There are organizations and volunteer services that might help you. You might have to look into that. You have a disability, and there are places that do offer assistance. I don't know if you've gone through all of the possibilities. There's also volunteers or people at the senior centers that are willing to help out a little bit, and they don't mind $25-$50. That might be a lot to you, but if it saves you your living quarters, I get the idea that you have arthritis, that you're a bit of a hoarder, that the place isn't real clean, but it must be pretty dramatic if they're saying, listen, clean this up. This is pretty bad. So what you should do if you're really hindered by your arthritic condition is to start, it may not be in your comfort zone, but you may want to start to look for volunteer services or people who take donations who are of service to people with disabilities and say, look,
okay.
I need my place cleaned up. I've got to stay here. We really don't see you leaving. I think if you make an effort, you're probably labored by depression and just your issues, and maybe you're just not inclined to be an anal person. You know, you're just not, that's just not you. And now, compounded by your handicaps, you're just like giving up and feel alone. What you got to do, am I right?
Yes. Fortunately, I've had a couple friends just tell me last night, you know, don't worry, we'll come over and help you. And I believe they will. So I think I will have some help. And I will follow up on what you said, and I will make some calls and see if I can get some other assistance too.
Okay, you're not going to – we don't see you leaving.
Okay.
You be assertive. Listen, you don't have to give in to this theory that you're just a loser and you're going to be pushed out. You're in charge of making your place clean, and you have – obviously, you have some people willing to help. Really get on them. And, you know, I don't know, repay them in any way you can, and look, reach out for people who will also assist you. If it's for $25 or something, everybody can help. You're not going to be leaving. There's no reason for it.
Well, I was really shocked, I guess, because I'd had it inspected before a couple of years ago, and it was a lot worse. I had done a lot of work and caused my body a lot of pain, but I thought I was just going to pass no problem because it was so much better than it was before when it had passed inspection.
Well, it's different inspector, different time zone. It doesn't matter. You need to appeal this inspector and show an effort. And I think if you do, they're going to go okay.
Okay.
When's the inspection?
I don't know.
When's the inspection?
It's sometime within the next 30 days. They told me it had to be all completed within the next 30 days because at the end of that time, they have to decide whether I pass or not, whether I continue to get the assistance or if they take me out of the program.
Okay.
So you have time to get some people on board.
Yeah, I've got at least a few weeks, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't need to call up any more psychics. You don't need that. You're in charge. You can do this. Don't let overwhelming circumstances of your psyche get in the way. Just do it. It's just a matter of doing it. It's on the physical stage. This has nothing to do with psychic stuff. It's not your destiny to leave. It's probably in your physical zone to stay. So Get on it, Diane. You're going to stay there.
Okay.
Okay, Diane.
Dear, thank you both very much for your time and your help. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Good luck. And let us know how things work out for you.
I will. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay. All right. So we're going to have some time to talk, Neil.
Well, okay. We were talking, you know, it's funny because we separated the, I think in past shows, we separated the idea of what is a psychological dream and what is an out-of-the-body dream.
Right. And the subject today is about encountering spirits. And it's funny you should mention the psychological and out-of-body, the astral aspect, because before the show, it's exactly what I was thinking about, because you can have a psychological dream with like a deceased relative or someone who would be perceived maybe by a novice to be a spirit in the dream. And it's really just a brain dream.
Mm-hmm.
So differentiating.
Well, because a dream that you just have in your mind, I mean, those are the dreams that we all know about. And medicine and doctors and psychologists and just every human being knows we dream. We do dream. Our brains are running rapidly at night and they don't turn off and we dream. And some dreams are really wild and crazy, but they're all psychological. When you have an out-of-body dream, something else happens. There's a sense of movement, like you're either flying or walking real fast, but there's this physical sense that even while you're having the dream, you're feeling like you're moving.
Being in a vehicle.
Vehicle, any of those things, in a plane, because what's happening is that your astral body, which is basically your soul, that your physical body inhabits, that astral body is the body that moves through time and space beyond the limitations of this physical world. It's encased in your physical body, and there's codes going on rapidly about what this life is going to be all about. But once this physical body dies, the astral body leaves forever. The silver cord to the physical body is broken, and the astral body moves on to its next journey. But for now, it's stationed in the physical body, and as long as the human being is alive, it's connected by a silver cord. So when it does leave the physical body, it always has to come back. It always has to come back. But when the astral body leaves the physical body, that astral body is floating around, and it's sending messages through that silver cord to the sleeping body.
To the physical body.
Mm-hmm. And that physical body is interpreting in the best way it can what's going on. Sometimes it comes out as symbolisms and references to allusions to that if the physical body can't quite understand what's going on, the physical brain will try to relate it to something. And then sometimes there's a literal translation. But when we're out of the body and we're having those movements and we're feeling like something's, you're in a strange room with people you don't know, you're traveling in a car. When a spirit comes up in those dreams, it's usually a true spirit. They encounter the astral body. True spirits very rarely encounter the physical body. Oh, in the physical sense, someone may think they see a ghost in the corner of their eye, or something moves in front of them, or they get a sense of something. But the true language and the true presentation and interaction between a spirit and a human being will happen in the astral realm. The environment is so much better. It's like if you want to talk to a fish, you have to go into the water. If you want to talk to a spirit, really, somewhere, in some form, you have to go into the astral realm.
And most people are going to do it in their dream state, because the general population doesn't go into the astral realm in a conscious state.
Right. So we have a lot of these encounters for a large majority of us. We have these encounters with spirits and guides, or people, or the souls of people who have crossed over in the astral realm. Now there it becomes very weird, because it's almost like they're there and they're talking, and sometimes there's a plot behind it, a plot line, a story, a narration. Sometimes they're just talking. Sometimes the language isn't quite there, and you just see the face, but you can't quite make out the words, because what's happening in the astral realm is people don't talk in the astral realm. You don't.
It's a vibrational language, but your brain interprets it to be language.
Exactly. There's no tongues. It's a vibrational language, and the vibration going through that silver cord is being received by the sleeping person, and they decode it into a language. But in the astral realm, it'd be like two people just staring at each other, sending thought energies to one another. And so it becomes very vivid. So it's just like a TV. You're really seeing just dots and dots and dots formulating into a form, and the same thing in the dream world. Now, what happens? We have different. There's different spirits that occur in the dream world.
Right. Go ahead.
Well, no. What are you going to say?
No. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, the spirits can be guides. You know, sometimes you see your own guide. But oftentimes your own guide doesn't really come into the picture until you've actually finally left the body. That's when your own guide really makes an appearance, and the two of you get together again and talk and converse about the journey and what you did and what you need to do next. But your main guide usually has to kind of stay behind. They're there.
There's not an active communication usually when person's on the planet between the guide and
they
the person.
In. They can pop in.
But it's not like, you know, they're holding your hand through life. It's more of, like you said, behind the scenes.
They're behind the scenes, and then they take a really strong point once you leave the body and the silver cord is broken. Now, some people will say, but I know my guide. I talk to my guide. I converse with my guide. So we're not saying that doesn't happen. Yes, it does happen. So for the sake of argument, yes. And some people may have a little bit more intense conversations with their main guide than others. But a lot of us, we encounter different various guides, spirit guides that kind of roam the astral realm, and they're of good heart and nature, so to speak, because they're there to help human beings. And they understand that the soul is leaving the body for a while, and they help counsel the soul, and they help along the way. Some of them actually can look at a soul and read that whole soul and emulate become a person that's important to the person.
So what you're saying is, explaining this, they absorb the energy of that other person. And so you can encounter, for instance, a spirit guide in a dream that might absorb the energy of like your grandmother that died.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead.
And then speak on their behalf. Now, that doesn't mean that one who leaves their body and actually encounters the soul spirit of their grandmother, their mother, their father,
they could be actually connecting with the spirit, or it could be a guide taking on the energy of that.
That's right. Sometimes it's hard to tell,
but
sometimes people just know. Sometimes people will say, oh, no, it was my grandmother, beyond the doubt. I hear what you're saying, but this was my grandmother. And you're probably right. It was. We're just saying that there are spirit guides out there that can transform, morph into loved ones. And there are demons that do it.
That's what I was going to say. Or lower entities that will mimic
or do something. Like someone says, oh, I had a dream that my father wanted to kill me. And, you know, he's crossed over and he wanted to kill me. I don't understand that at all. What's going
someone
on?
Someone probably
it could be a demon.
They entered a lower realm and there's some kind of trickery going on. But anyway.
So you have those things going on. And there's something, there's almost, when you have an out-of-body dream, first of all, like I said, there's a sense of movement. Indeed, some people, when they return to their bodies, they get locked in that frozen energy because they're actually waking up during the descension of the soul and the spirit, and they wake up too soon and they get trapped in this frozen position until the soul of the spirit actually gets back into the body. And sometimes they mistake that there's some kind of evil spirit above them, or they sense something above them breathing. Yes, indeed, while we're out astral projecting, dark spirits can hover over our bodies and cause, you know, do some foul play or something annoying to us. But basically speaking, the nightmares of life and the realities of the spirit world invading us in our sleep, it can only go so far. People who literally die in their sleep, it's usually natural causes. But a lot of people who do die are usually, when you're older, you're on your back. If you sleep in bed, you're on your back. Your head's back a little bit. Your mouth is open. And that's basically a sense of the biological essence of dying. But there's also the idea that laying on your back is also one of the prime positions of
astral projection. Yeah, so, but anyway, we're not talking about death here, dying on your back.
Well, we're talking about what we're talking about is the dream world.
Right, and so most people, if they're on their back, are not going to die in their sleep, as we were saying.
Oh, no, you're not going to die if you lay on your back. I'm just saying that when people are older, that's usually what happens in sleep. But can you dream in a fetal position, curled up? Yeah, of course. There's different ways that the astral body will find a way to leave the physical body in a sleeping position. Whatever position they're in. Some people just have just different styles of sleeping. But when these spirits occur, sometimes they have messages. Sometimes it's just the notion of connecting. And then other times there's an idea of that there's a message to give. Now.
Right. And so another thing that happens if you're journeying frequently into the astral realm is connecting with spirits that have crossed over that are not even familiar to you at all. I mean, people that you did not know on the planet, but they will gravitate towards someone who is in the astral realm, but they know is attached to a physical body.
Yeah, a lot of roaming spirits do actually find human beings that are in the dream world and attach their bodies.
Because they're still they still gravitate towards the earth plane, which
yeah.
is why they connect with.
And just for the sake
people
of,
that are
of
in the
connecting,
realm.
They will absorb the memories or the energies of a sleeping person, and for the sake of conversation, become the person that this person formerly knew. A lot of times when we venture out into the astral realm during sleep, we encounter people from our past lives that we don't quite recognize,
but they seem familiar.
But they seem to know us, and we don't know them, and they're talking to us. It's because we have a block. We have an astral block to the memory of the past life. At least the sleeping body in bed has a block, if not the astral body itself. So you can encounter all different kinds of energies and spirits out there, among which can be animals. Recently, somebody called and wanted to know about one of their pets, a cat that died, and what's going to happen to the cat. And usually what happens with animal spirits when they have a tight association with their human companions, when an animal spirit dies, their spirit form lingers around the human being, and they don't, and there's not a consciousness of that they're dead. There's just the energy of the animal is connecting to the energy of the person. So just being around the person, the animal spirit feels very comforted. And if the vibration of the human being is centered towards the animal and they're thinking positively about the animal, it makes the animal spirit purr or wag their tail in a physical realm. So it's a sense of interpretation. So we can encounter animal spirits.
Well, not only on that level of a pet that is crossed, but also in an astral spirits that are spirits.
There's astral
which is
spirits.
Nice.
If you went deep sea diving and you saw creatures you'd never, I mean,
that don't even
all the creatures in the ocean.
Right.
There are lower forms of energy in the astral realm that still have a. They don't have a spirit. They have an astral form.
Well,
an energy form.
So recently, I had a dream where you sent me into. I don't know what you were doing in the dream. I don't remember, but you sent me into the bathroom to be with this. It was a cyclops that was a reptile. I mean, it was very strange. So this is not an animal that exists on the earth plane, but it was, you know, in my dream, I encountered an astral spirit. So an astral animal spirit. So you encounter astral animals that don't exist on the earth plane. Obviously, there's
right.
no cyclops.
Well,
lizard.
Right. But, you know, that's true. But you can go out, you can go out and study insects and think, what planet do these things come from? Insects are some of our most alien forms of living things on the planet. And that's where I think a lot of the science fiction and the monsters and things like that occur from just observing the insect world. When we look at the history of dinosaurs and strange creatures and such things like that, it still brings to our consciousness the idea that, well, this planet inhabits a lot of strange things that seem otherworldly, and yet they're in the world. Well, the astral realm is much the same way. There's energy forms out there that have no human energy. They're not human beings. Spirits, angels are not human beings. They're celestial substance. They don't have a soul. God didn't breathe a soul into an angel. Mm-hmm. And angels don't have the karma of earth. They don't. Can an angel walk in the earth? Yeah.
People don't become angels after they die. There's a lot of, you know.
No, not our interpretation of things. Angels are angels.
Religious doctrine either.
I imagine in the transformation of energy on a very high level, one can form and transform into an angel to some extent, like a caterpillar being a butterfly through metamorphosis. But basically speaking, angels are a caste system. They are designed that way, and there are different levels of angels as well. If you look at Dante's drawings, and Gore's drawings about angels, Dore's drawings about angels and guides, especially in Paradise Lost and books like that, you'll see that it's a nice illustration of the caste system of angels and what they look like and what it's like. It's kind of an illustrated form of looking at it. So we can encounter angels in dreams that meet up with human souls out in the astral realm. Indeed, angels can visit the earthly plane. They did enough in the Bible. Angels can actually visit. And it doesn't have to be in a biblical sense of the word. Angels can visit us. And spirits and things that have never occupied a human form. Sometimes the guides that we see were once human beings. But the very last journey they had on the planet was of such a high nature that when they finally died and left the planet for good, they became celestial spirit guides.
Right.
And so they're of a high order.
But not angels.
They're not angels. That's a different thing.
Right.
Because angels have never been in the human body.
So when people say, you know, my deceased daughter is now my guardian angel. No, that's not possible.
In figuratively speaking, they can be a guardian.
But let's not put the title angel on. We may want to think that,
and we may want to illustrate our language with it, but angels are of a special category. I mean, people may disagree, but that's fine.
They can disagree.
So a spirit guide. Let's look at it. There were once human beings.
A human being that becomes
a spirit guide.
Right, were human beings, but there are spirit guides that were never human beings too. Yeah. But we're specifically talking about
these
humans that were
layers.
So elevated on the planet that they now can guide human beings in their planetary journey.
Yeah, I mean, what's fascinating about them is that they're no longer coming back to the planet Earth. They've done all their journeys, all their lifetimes. They're done with it. But yet, in the elevation and evolution of their spirit, they still connect to human beings in the astral realm. So they become almost like spiritual counselors, but in the celestial world. So they encounter human beings, and a lot of human beings who are doing high work on the planet, and they're still in human form, will encounter these spirit guides and that help assist them, because they're kind of like human beings are kind of like they're going to be that's their next stage where they're going. So they have these teachers that they meet in the astral realm that help them in their teaching and their language. And then when the person has these dreams and encounters these spirits, they wake up and they're inspired with ideas. They have a poetic language. They have insights that are pretty remarkable. And indeed, they even have psychic foresight. Psychics, when people have a dream and they go out of their body and they encounter a spirit that gives them information about the future, then what happens to the person who's maybe not employed as a psychic on the planet? They have premonitions. Their intuitive states are like they have the biggest wattage of light in their intuitive brains. And they have a feeling about something. You know, I have a feeling this is going to happen today. I have a premonition this is going to happen. Well, usually that occurs, that's the result of a night journey where they were told something. And then when they come back, it gets tucked away into the intuitive side of the brain, the right side of the brain, and it becomes an intuition or a feeling, a sense of something. And yet they're not psychic. But in that regard, our brains do house a psychic form of a room that's considered psychic energy. It's just to what degree.
Right.
So there are spirits that actually will enlighten human souls that are crossing over, that help to explain or predict things that are going on. Now, let's say someone's crossed over and there's issues. The living person on the planet has issues with them.
Sorry, I was confused about what you're saying. The person that they're connected to, deceased person has issues with the person that's crossed over.
Or the living person has issues with the person that has crossed over.
That's what I said.
Yeah. Oh. That's what you said.
Yeah. So
well, sometimes it's the other way around.
No. I said it your way, the way you said it.
Yeah.
So person living issues with the crossed over soul. Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead.
Now, how do you tell the difference between a psychological dream, because you're walking around maybe with problems and you're thinking, so how can you tell the difference if you've had a psychological dream that seems very real from a sense that the dream itself has lifted you into the astral realm and you actually had a conversation with the soul that crossed over? How do you tell the difference?
Right.
Well, we've given some guidelines, movement. There's a sense of movement, traveling. Because in order to remove it from a psychological state, there's got to be movement.
So, you know, I've noticed with my dreams, sometimes I do not remember all the pieces. So whether I'm traveling or not may not be a part of my recall when I'm in the waking state. I had a dream recently where I woke up right after, but I was in a plane nosediving towards the ground. So obviously that's the only part of the dream I remember, but
that's
obviously astral. Huh?
That's your descent back
right,
into the body.
Right, obviously. But there may be another dream where there's a spirit encountered, but there's no memory of how, you know, that spirit was reached, whether there was travel or not. So people remember pieces, bits and pieces of dreams,
right.
And you may not always remember traveling.
Sometimes that's due to the human condition of the mind. Sometimes that's due to whether the spirit or the guide is intending to imprint it on the brain, the consciousness of the brain. There is an imprint, and it may
it's there somewhere
deep into the subconscious,
exactly,
where we can't retrieve it. But a lot of times that gets put into the corporation of the soul, the spirit. The spirit envelops it upon the return of the body. So not everything that we experience in the astral realm will be received by our conscious mind.
Unfortunately not. And I think that, you know, I mean, I certainly for myself, I go through phases where I will have great, great recall of dreams. And then phases right now, I'm in a phase where I'm like, it's very foggy.
Well,
what's going
on?
Yeah, very foggy.
It can get that way.
I mean,
the handicap there, what one can do is have a notepad by the bed. A lot of times we have a dream and we swear we're going to remember it, and as a day
goes
on,
in the middle of the
forget.
Night, you wake up and you think, okay, I'm making a mental note to remember, and then it's gone. I know that happens to you too.
And they're sketchy. You know, I like to say that sometimes dreams are interrupted by commercials. We get patches of the dream. And then it's like it was a bad commercial, you know, it was a bad movie shown on TV where 20 minutes of it was filled with commercials and you don't see the full feature. Our brains are limited. Our conscious brains are really the biggest enemy of the dream world, because what it does is the consciousness of the brain is so preoccupied with the earth
that
what's
it dilutes the contents of the dream.
That's right. It doesn't fill that capacity. So sometimes spirit guides have a challenge, because when they look at a soul, they go, oh boy, this soul's brain sleeping in the bed, this is going to be a challenge about how much is going to be retained here. So if you're looking at it's almost like somebody looking at a potential athlete and saying, oh, this is not a, this person is never going to make it as an athlete, as opposed to someone saying this person has sheer athletic ability. Spirits can look at the astral bodies of human beings and see right then and there what their capacity for recall will be. And if they're very enlightened people, or they have an excellent recall because of they developed their mystical skills or their intuitive skills, it's much easier for the spirit to say, oh, wow, you've been working. This is much easier.
Right.
So it's almost like someone who's entering school and during the summer they've been studying diligently. So when they get into school, things come easier, and that's a pleasure to the teacher. The same thing with a spirit guide. If a spirit guide encounters a human being in the astral realm that is filled with earthly troubles, they may be compelled to want to help and counsel, whether they're of a birthright with the person or whether they're just a disengaged spirit that had no history with the person on earth. They may feel compelled to want to help the human being. They're limited somewhat by the karma
of that person,
of what the person is supposed to know. So sometimes our karma gets in the way of enlightenment.
Right. And sometimes the dream state will be filled with karma, you know, karmic dreams,
dreaming
of the past, or, you know, situations.
A lot of times when people have escaped the crimes of their past lives, boy, when they go into the astral realm, they're filled with nightmares. They're being chased. They're being hunted. They've done something wrong. They wake up and they go, oh, my God, I'm so glad that was a dream. But why, you know, some psychologists would just say, well, you have some hidden energies going on in your life, and they analyze it through the mind. Our assumptions would be that's soul energy, that sometimes we encounter past lives where we're being chased by Indians or wild animals that we haven't seen any movies with wild animals or Indians in it. Well, some of that, when the soul leaves the body, it floats through time and space into different elements of the history of the planet where they once were alive, and they encounter those energies. And sometimes when one's having a dream, they don't recognize a certain person, but that's who they were in a past life. So they're actually encountering themselves more or less in another spirit.
Right. Another problem, I think, with recall can be if the physical body is compromised in any way, you know. I mean, sometimes when people are sick, they'll have vivid dreams, nightmares, hallucinations, and things like that. But also, I think that if the body is in healing mode, then it can be more challenging to remember what is going on in the dream state.
Right.
So
exactly.
If you're physically ill, you know, that can be a barrier.
That can be a problem.
We're running out of time, Neil. We've got about 1:46 left. So any final?
No, we had some time to discuss the spirit worlds. That was nice. Thank you. And for people who listen in the archives, be sure to follow us.
Yes, be sure to follow us. The sites are linked under our Blog Talk Radio profile. You can follow us here and on Neil Baker Psychic and Neil and Kristen Baker. We appreciate you following both of our pages and of course, the Blog Talk Radio page as well. We are back on air on Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks for joining us, callers. Bye-bye.